Welcome everyone, Stunt Granny Audio 270. This is Jeremy, and on the other end is Kevin, shaking his head. Hello.
Hi, audience, it's Kevin.
Hi. So, we're here to do a show for you. How's that?
Yeah.
How's that fancy, since you downloaded it? You're streaming it off the site.
Yes, and you haven't read the write-up either. There's just no use for that. You just went straight into this thing.
I've often wondered, like, depending on who does the write-up, if we should even say who's doing it. And if we do say who's doing the show, then why do we bother introducing each other or ourselves? I don't know. It doesn't seem necessary. I mean, I guess it can be.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to think of other write-ups, but I'm not. Usually, just because you're downloading. No, almost everything on iTunes, it says something like, you know, Jim or something like that. So it usually does have a name, even though the podcast is branded to one specific person.
I don't know, like Opa's yours.
Opa.
Yeah.
We watch stuff.
Shahid and I, you know, the audio experience is Dusty and I, whenever the two of us can get together. And then what else is there? This was just the rotating cast.
Rotating cast. That's that. I'm surprised I didn't hear from Chris this week about not being on. But oh, I do have to ask him a question here as we as we do the show here.
Well, he was threatening to write, not threatening in a joking manner, but he was saying that he was going to write a write-up about what happened to the Wyatts. So I don't know what happened.
Yeah, he is currently inside of Stunt Granny HQ, supposedly working on that. So.
Oh, okay. He's out in the archives getting all his facts straight.
Well, I hope that since he is writing something about the Wyatts, I hope to God he says something or has in the post that clip that you showed me earlier today with Bray Wyatt on the local TV news.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull that up here. Yeah, so what Kevin's talking about, Bray Wyatt got to do one of these in-studio, like, Fox, like, local Fox News things where, like, the hype Raw because it wasn't sold out.
Yeah, because no one at all seemed like they wanted to be there. Like, that was the TNA crowd, like, that they were forced, they papered the whole ring, or the whole arena, just to have Raw.
Trying to make sure I get like the studio and TV station and all that right.
Okay.
For whatever reason. all right, this one doesn't say who it is, so whatever. But basically, oh, it's called Good Morning. Let me mute this when it starts. Not that you can hear it, but it's Good Morning something, and it's just your stupid local news, like traffic on the twos or traffic on the tens. I think is what Greenville used to have. Good morning, Acadiana? Acadiana?
Oh, I don't know. It's French. I don't know how to pronunciate that. Well, you probably...
I don't know. Like, oh, all
right. Well, you probably don't pronunciate at least one of those letters, since it's French, and then you probably have some type of a schwa sound in there so that two of the other vowels together don't really sound like they normally should. You know.
I'm trying to find the other one. I'm listening, but I was trying to find this other one.
Well, yeah. I didn't know I was in fill time, but... we had talked about it a lot on IM today, but I think that it still kind of bears talking about. Like, it was really strange. Just the main thing that you notice is that he kayfabes the whole appearance, because right out of the shoot, they ask him about his dad and his brother, and he talks about his dad. What was the quote that they used?
My father was the war, and my mother was the society that reinforced it.
Yeah, yeah, from the Black Album. Yeah, that's on there. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was pretty damn funny, but what was the one lady, the, of course, they've got, like, the stereotypical lady.
She, that was kind of, that was a funny dynamic that they had going on, because either the guy was, like, so geeked about Bray Wyatt being there, which I think he was, that he just was, like, overly geeked. And you have the woman host, and she is completely clueless about what professional wrestling is. Like,
you're exactly right. The black guy, the male anchor, is totally into this. And I think he was trying to do, like, the fan, like the internet fan thing.
Right.
Well, you know, it's all family, and your brother and your dad were out there, like, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
Instead of just, like, he was trying to prove how cool he was, at the same time trying not to act like a total tool.
Right. Yeah.
Because me and Bray Wyatt would be pretty damn cool. But I just love the fact that he's in character, first off, or trying his damnedest. But then he's wearing the Hawaiian shirt, the black shirt under it. I mean, he's only got a skull. He's got a skull cap on, I guess, to keep his hair back. But I think my favorite line, though, is when the female anchor says, they said you were scary. You're not that scary, though. She's like, I don't know, maybe it's something about your eyes. And he goes, he starts laughing at her. She says, told you'd be scary, and he goes, you're busy falling in love. That's a smooth-ass line. Like, good for him.
And then she fell for it, too, by talking about his beautiful blue eyes. Which is just like, oh, man, he just has all the more reason to just dig into this, oh yeah, she's hot for me angle.
Yeah, and she's old enough to be his mom, which makes it even better.
Yeah,
she's doing like that stare, like upper class, like white lady thing where you get the short haircut because you've given up trying to look sexy for your man. And yeah, it's really really it's so awkward, and then but. Awkward for the two of them. I think the guys finally started getting it that he was staying in character because he didn't really do much after this. But the female was still trying to like bait him and all that stuff, and he just wasn't buying it. And then they asked him, like, he said he claims that he ended the Shield for no reason. He just says that. And then he says he'd like to fight Sting. He just liked that.
Oh yeah, I guess I didn't even hear that part.
Yeah, that was, it was at the very end.
I was just so in awe, because really the thing that we were talking about more was, okay, was this Bray Wyatt completely going rogue on his own and just staying in character instead of hyping Raw, and but if the WWE sent him there and said, be your character, it's like, what the hell are you thinking? It's funny if he was just the one that just decided to freelance and it just became really awkward because of it. If they sent him, I just think it's stupid, you know, to tell him, oh yeah, stay in character and just, you know, move things along.
Yeah, yeah, do your thing like you normally would. Like, just act, be your, I don't know if you can hear that outside, Jesus Christ.
No, I can't.
Oh, dude, it, as an aside, it looks like I'm being invaded. the sky literally, it is just lightning, like, in big circles around me. So, or it's like the end of Evil Dead. Sooner or later, I'm going to get sucked up and end up in medieval times. So, and it was like I said before, there was another...
Ha Of course, he was concerned about this the whole time along, and, I'm just gonna have to fill in here a little bit until Jeremy calls back in, but, we lost him for a moment. He is back. That is how good technology is. Before, I would have had to fill in for 15 minutes as you waited for your dial-up to come back online.
Dial-up as you can get, I suppose. No, there was a pretty good lightning strike outside. So, yeah, as soon as it hit, the TV froze. I looked at my screen, I'm talking, and had nothing. So, I'll splice it together. But
oh, I don't care. I can go ahead and, go with what I'm recording.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot you're recording, too. See? That's pretty smart on my part. Saying is, I saw one of these with the Shield once, and it was all three: Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. Ambrose acted like his character. He was just acting all weird, and he was just like staring at one of the anchors, and like he ended up hitting on her and asking her what she was doing later. And Roman Reigns was just kind of quiet the whole time, and then Seth Rollins was the guy that was doing all the talking, just like the Shield usually did. So I thought that was an interesting dynamic. But in that case, I kind of think that's all right. Because, so Dean Ambrose acts like a loose cannon, if you want to put it that way. He's a little off. Roman Reigns was just kind of quiet then. But with Seth Rollins talking, all right. But with Bray Wyatt, he's kind of, not in, stature yet. He's kind of like the Undertaker. You didn't see Undertaker doing this stuff. Maybe when he was the badass or whatever, but you didn't see him doing appearances like this. You didn't see him breaking character to promote stuff. So I don't agree with them sending out their characters like this.
Oh.
But it would be pretty funny if they did just send him out and he decided to just do the character. That'd be great.
Oh yeah, what the shit?
You didn't see. I'm trying to remember. I don't think Kamala ever did mainstream interviews. I couldn't imagine. But didn't Boogeyman do like Regis and Kelly or something?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm gonna look that up real quick.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of brought up one topic, too, that, because you're talking about kind of the weird people. Yeah, you should never send the oddball, the real characters out there. Unless it's something that you could do. Like, I can't believe that they didn't try to send Fandango to, like, some dancing show or something like that. Or just onto live TV to dance with an anchor. Like, that seemed like a perfect time to do something like that.
Yeah. Sorry,
No.
Fandango thing would have been perfect, but he's not a big enough name, I guess. It's funny, you're the second person. Shahid, we were talking about how Raw could do better yesterday. And he mentioned, it's like, what happened to Fandango? I'm like, and then you just mentioned him today, too.
Oh, I didn't even think about it in that terms.
Well, no, but it was just funny that Fandango, a guy I'd forgotten about, in all honesty, kind of like Zack Ryder, like when Kurt Hawkins got released, forgot he was even on the roster.
Oh.
That's pretty much where Fandango is, but... Yeah. No, I agree with you, though. Like, yeah, you take someone like that and put him in one of these dance competitions or something. But then I think they'd insist on calling him Johnny Curtis, probably.
Oh, shit.
But no, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, what wrestlers would be off limits for doing these sort of interviews. I would gather Harper and Rowan are totally off limits. Especially Rowan, because he barely talks. Harper's talked before, so I guess he wouldn't be a bad one. Can you imagine their ugly ass mugs on TV?
Of all things? Well, and that is the other thing that was just kind of interesting. You would think that that they would send someone who just is more media friendly in general if you're trying to sell tickets. You know, Bray Wyatt isn't going to be the guy to get mom or dad to pick that up. pick the tickets up. Like, they want someone other than that. So, I mean, it's just kind of a weird person to send out for that mission, just in general, honestly.
Isn't it kind of weird to send a heel to do it anyways?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a very strange thing. Like, you'd send The Miz, but why would you send The Miz? Because he can talk good? I mean, I don't know, maybe on, like, Conan or something, if you're promoting, you know, like, or Jimmy Fallon, whoever, since they're promoting something. But in this case, it doesn't make much sense to send Bray Wyatt. I mean, he can talk, so maybe they trust him to do these things. But I would think it'd have to be strictly babyface to get, like, the kids, since that's the audience they want, the younger people, get them out there to talk it up. You know? Or even Paul Heyman, I guess. If you're going to send a heel, Paul Heyman wouldn't be a bad one.
Oh.
Because enough people like Lesnar.
Yeah, and he can talk his way through any type of appearance. I mean, because you were kind of I guess I was thinking that the couple of times that Heyman's been on Steve Austin's show since I just finished that up, he's always finished both interviews like he's kind of just been serious, like, you know, the actual person, Paul Heyman. And then at the end, Austin always asks him to evaluate whatever Brock Lesnar's involved in at the time. And he always goes into gimmick mode at that point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even in that kind of a format, he kind of knows when to turn on and off things. I mean, he would be a perfect shill to be able to go to any of these things. But I would imagine that he has enough power that if he doesn't feel like doing that, he's not going to do that.
Well, I mean, I guess I could. The only place I could see Lesnar doing his own press like this would be in some sort of sports environment. But they're not going to take wrestling seriously, anyways, unless it's with that. Is that a Sports Nation? Whatever it's on ESPN, they do that.
I don't know. I'd have to watch some type of sports show that doesn't involve.
The only reason I know of it is because they showed John Cena on it a few times or whatever, and it was out of the gym when I could get there. So, but no, I don't. Maybe we're in the wrong here. Maybe we're the sticklers, but I don't like wrestlers showing up out of character. They're not that different. It's not like the old days where, you know, if you're gonna send Barry Darso as the Repo Man on a show. All right, that's a little much. He's got to wear this dumbass outfit and all that stuff. But you could still have, like, Kurt Hennig. I mean, it's a heel, which doesn't help this example. But, you know, he could have gone out and still been, you know, Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig because he can talk. There's no real gimmick involved with it. Just like you're not going to send... you couldn't send Goldust and Stardust out.
You know? Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem with whatever they decide to do. Like, I mean, to me, this was just a riot. Like, it was one of my favorite... Oh, but we're talking about not being the characters. I'm sorry. Yeah, I would much rather the character thing, honestly, at this point, in some ways. Just because...
If they wanted to send the Dust Brothers, which, you know, obviously they can't use that name, but if they wanted to send those two dressed up in full gimmick... It's 7 in the morning on local TV. I'm acting in character, trying to get people to go to the arena. I'm all for something like that. But But if they're going to go and go, yeah, I'm Cody Rhodes and I'm Dustin Rhodes, I play Stardust, I play Goldust, no, I don't want to see that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah. And I know there's the example of, well, when Tom Cruise goes on, he doesn't act like whatever character he is in a movie. It's different. You know in a movie it's fake. You know in a movie he's acting. In wrestling, you already give them, you suspend your disbelief for it. Well, don't come back and smack me around saying, haha, see, this isn't real, I'm not really hurt, all that sort of stuff. You still have to keep up,
excuse me.
Is it kayfabe?
Yeah.
You still need to keep that up. And if you watch wrestling, you willingly know it's not real. You go to a movie because it's a movie. You watch wrestling because it's supposed to be wrestling, you know? I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but...
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was trying to do two things at once, and that's never a good thing.
Yeah, trust me. I know.
I mean, it was enjoyable, but if they're just trying to accomplish something, it just seems like they could use someone else in that capacity. Mm-hmm. So I think that's about where I'm going to leave that one.
Yeah.
Well, and Bray Wyatt was involved in one of the more odd segments of Raw. I think one of the things not helping the WWE at this point is that they don't, well, at least for this Night of Champions, a lot of matches they did not transition to until probably entirely too late. And Bray Wyatt versus Big Show.
I'm laughing at that because... Does anyone remember a few weeks back, or was it a month or so, Bray Wyatt beat Big Show clean on SmackDown? No help from the Wyatt family at all?
Oh, no, I do not.
Okay. Alright. Well, yeah, he did. So, it didn't make any fucking sense. For all of a sudden, you know, and even at the time, I thought it was weird that they just throw that away like that.
Oh.
You know, my memory is gone in some ways, but it's apparently all right in some others. So,
yeah. Well, as soon as you said that, I realized that I was like, "Oh crap, that did happen." Just because SmackDown is only semi-important, it's probably why it doesn't always ring a bell to me.
They don't want you to remember that. And
well, they don't want you to remember a whole lot of stuff.
No, I know. We can't get into another one of these how they don't remember their history. That's a dead horse sort of thing.
There was one really bad example, though, this week, which was the whole Jerry Lawler rooting for The Miz while JBL... and Michael Cole pull the whole face meltingly bad. You can't tell the difference between R-Truth and Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, okay. Wasn't it R. Ziggler?
Yeah, it's R. Ziggler.
R. Ziggler, yeah. Okay. I swear that was a goof. They were telling Lawler to do that, and they were telling JBL and Cole to take the opposite side.
Well, they started doing that on SmackDown, though. Cole and JBL did it on SmackDown and then brought it over to Raw because it was so funny.
I think I haven't watched SmackDown from last week yet because I don't remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I apparently did not watch.
Well, and Tom Phillips didn't play into it at all. But I just don't get why in that situation the babyface Keller commentator is pulling for the heel while the heel Keller commentator is pulling for the babyface. I it made my head want to explode.
The announcing in general's bad enough as it is. So I guess that's why I just kind of gave it a pause, like, or a pass, excuse me, not a pause. They're doing something. Yeah, I mean, not something good, but they're doing something. But yeah, I was kind of lost on that too. Like Lawler just, it almost seemed like Lawler just had it. Which, I mean, obviously it wasn't, but at that time, it just seemed like Lawler was like, this is ridiculous. We're supposed to not be able to tell the difference between the two guys. And that's why those two are playing it out, just trying to, like, egg him on or get at him, just for not playing along.
Oh, right.
You know, like, one of these inside jokes that, you know, Vince likes to do in the headset. That's all that seemed to me. And I think you're right. Since Tom Phillips didn't play along, they carried it over to Raw to do the same thing.
What? And but it's still just... Again, like, I don't find the humor in it. Like, it's just like...
No, of course you don't.
There are just some things to me that it's just like, okay, I understand. That's a different humor. And you just kind of don't listen to it or don't get into it or whatever. And this is one that I don't even understand the entertainment value of it. You know, I have no clue. Like, it's just like, who laughs at this?
I wish I could help you, man. But I'm in the same boat. I don't... Alright, I will admit, I got kind of a kick out of it. I mean, I get a kick out of Damian Sandow mimicking the Miz's movements. Because if you notice at the end of the match, the Miz took the zigzag. But when they were both laying out at ringside, Sandow was doing the exact same
thing.
Like his head hurt. Like, and that's funny. I mean, that's really funny.
Well, so when, go ahead.
When Ziggler and R-Truth came out and they're both doing the same moves, I'm like, okay, that's kind of funny. I mean, just being dicks about it. And I'll tell you what, R-Truth looks way more professional wearing tights and having his hair at like that medium length than he ever has. Wearing, like, the jeans.
Yeah. They just look like, you know, late 90s, early aughts jeans.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was actually kind of impressed by that. Like, all right, he looks legit all of a sudden. So...
Yeah, he looked like a whole different person. It's like, oh, I'm seeing... R-Truth's legs, like, this is kind of strange.
Maybe that's what it was. But yeah, but outside of that, that's the only enjoyment I get. But if you want to talk about not getting the humor on a WWE show, I don't know the last time I've legitimately laughed at anything they've done.
Okay, well, before I answer that one, I do like. The idea behind The Miz having a stunt double is pretty damn entertaining to me. Just because he needed something to play up that gimmick. So, I mean, and Sandow, despite continually being booted in the teeth, much like Heath Slater, he keeps on being good in his role, no matter what role they put him in. Right.
I'm still confused what happened to him. He was the intellectual savior. He had some pretty good heat. He loses to John Cena, and that's it. It seemed, even though he lost, it wasn't like he got squashed or anything. It was a legit back-and-forth match with all built-in Super Cena stuff.
Right.
But I don't get what happened. I haven't even read anything about what's happened with him.
Well, maybe like, what's his name? Zack Ryder, he just decided not to go to the back and ask why he's been demoted. That seems to be the solution to the former wrestlers online. I just remember, because I think it was Jericho talking to Batista about that. So it was a little, it was just like, really? Like, that's all, like, why does that correct anything? Why does that make that right? Like, why do you need to go out and point out that you're right? Hey, I'm getting over with the crowd. Yeah, that's my job. I'm supposed to write for people that are getting over.
Well, all right, I'll actually take up something with that, though. Depending on, like, what, I don't know how the creative staff works, but aren't you supposed to write for the employees? Like, if you're the writing staff and a wrestler's not getting over, that doesn't mean you don't write for them. You're supposed to make the most of all your assets. Now, if you've been trying and trying and trying, then okay, then something's wrong, something's not clicking. But in the case of, like, you know, we'll just use Zack Ryder, but oh.
Well, and Sandow's in the same boat, really.
Yeah. Let's stick with Damian Sandow. He loses the match. No one really seemed all that happy he lost. I don't think it was the right time for him to win the title, but if you're the Money in the Bank guy. Supposed to win. I still don't agree with losing the Money in the Bank, but
well, and the other thing that was interesting is that they had plenty of time. You know, he was one of those winners to me that needed some time to be built up, so him not cashing in right away was probably was the way to go. And he did kind of cash it in rather quickly for being the intellectual guy and the smart guy and the planning guy. So it was a little strange that he's the one that kind of, you know, went against intellect.
Well, no, because John Cena was beaten down pretty badly. I can't remember who did it. It was like the ultimate super Cena move. Can't remember who had worked him over. Just beat Cena down, and that's when he showed up.
No.
And I remember the wrestler. Remember, that was the one where they went to commercial and the referee gave time for Cena to recover.
Oh, right.
And it was like right there, you knew Cena was going to win. So the intellectual part, I guess, doesn't really apply in that one because he had it right.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess it all kind of ties together, I suppose. The writing staff, from everything I've read, shows are getting changed the day of, just hours before Raw starts, based on whatever Vince McMahon wants to do. And that doesn't seem fair. It'd almost be like you, and maybe this is how it happens, I don't know, but it'd almost be like you turning in something at work, and then go, okay, and then, you know, with a deadline, and all of a sudden, 4 hours before it's due, we don't like any of this, redo it. Well, this took me all week to do. But no, to redo it in 3 hours. Wait, what?
Yeah, it's close to that way sometimes.
I don't get, like, everything, all the things I've read about, there's not a power struggle, but it's Triple H wants to do it one way, McMahon wants it his way, and then we'll just tell it, nope, you know, I'm in charge, you're doing it my way. And they change it. And that's where I wonder if a lot of these other fringe wrestlers are getting lost. Like the Jerry Springer segment from last week, that was horrendous. As soon as they said Jerry Springer was going to be on, it's horrendous. Jerry Lawler hasn't, well, that kind of too, but Jerry Springer hasn't been, what's the word I'm looking for?
Relevant?
For how long?
I don't know. It's been a long time. I was surprised when Chris and I were talking about this last week that he still has a television show. I had no idea.
Yeah, Steve and I were talking about that too. Yeah.
I had no idea, and it's just like, but you're right. Like, he's still not relevant in the scope of things. So why are you going with him? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. No.
But that's what it kind of goes to. Like, you know, McMahon has that a childish sense of humor, or as JR was saying in Opie and Anthony, he's got that redneck sense of humor. And this is apparently the things that he finds interesting. Or, I'm sorry, not interesting, but funny. I don't think even, like, and also it's kind of a conflicting thing, because if their audience is supposedly children now, why would you have Jerry Springer on?
I don't know.
They don't know who he is. I mean, and are children watching Total Divas as well? Or are we just making, like, the children thing too broad, and it's actually supposed to be teenagers, like young teenagers?
It's kind of an interesting question, honestly, and I think that that's part of the overall problem, is that they don't know who they're aiming for. You know, they're still trying to keep a foot in each camp, and it's just... It's showing that, because it's not working that well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's yeah. Because, like, who's the network designed for?
I don't know.
Yeah, they advertise all these old Nitros. They have the new series, like the Monday Night War. That's not aimed at the audience they're going for now.
Right.
So why would you subscribe to the network to watch stuff that I don't know. The network's a cool device for people like you and me.
Right.
Unless kids are trying to get it, unless they want kids to get it just for the pay-per-views. But they don't even market it that way. They just say, "Hey, it's $9.99, and you get the pay-per-views plus all this." And it's like, well. Kids, I don't, maybe I'm underestimating children, but I don't think kids under the age of 10 understand subscribing to WWE Network. They just expect it to be there, or they tell their parents they want it, and the parents go, okay, and blow them off. I don't understand. I guess it's the whole WWE's business model. They're writing for a younger audience, using Jerry Springer, weird, bad announcing stuff, but then there's a commercial for Slam City. Oh, but it's followed by one for the Monday Night War that none of these people know what it is. And instead of saying, hey, here's a nice historical aspect of what WWE's been through, some history of wrestling sort of thing. You know, it's pretty interesting. You guys should check it out, see what some of these old-time favorites did, you know, before they retired. They never do.
Yeah. You brought up a point that I guess I hadn't even really thought that much about, just because I had seen it. Yeah, I can't imagine that there are all that many kids rushing out to watch the Monday Night Wars. So, well, but I do think that that's why, I feel like it was during the football games this weekend sometime that I saw a commercial for it. And those would be some of the consumers that the WWE probably lost that might be interested in something like the Monday Night Wars. But I'm not sure that that's going to bring you back for $9.99 a month either, though.
No. Man, I guess they should advertise, like, Slam Cities on this thing. Even though those are only, like, 3 minutes long or whatever. But you can get those on YouTube. So... that's not really helping. I'm also surprised they don't have a deal for, like, the WWE movies. Like especially, like, the old ones. I mean, I guess, because they have parental controls, so, like, See No Evil, whatever else. What was the one with Kane?
That
was
See No Evil.
Yeah. The one with Kane. What else was there? The Marine, the first one. You know, they could have, like, Friday night movie hours.
Oh.
What's the the chaperone that was Triple H's. Which, by the way, that was pretty clear that was supposed to be Batista's movie.
Oh.
And that was the one he just decided not to and then quit WWE. That's what I'm thinking, at least. What was the other Triple H movie?
Oh, man. I honestly hadn't even thought about that.
I'm trying to remember what the other Triple H movie was, though. He did two.
Yeah, well, that's it. I was switching it up here real quick to check it out. But I'm not sure which...
Inside Out was the other one.
Inside Out.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't remember that one at all.
That was the one that was actually with Michael Rappaport, which I thought, what's Michael Rappaport doing now? Because he was spectacular in Justified.
Oh. Well, he hasn't done that much. He has a tendency to kind of come and go these days. Because he was in some family comedy right before that. That was the last thing. I kind of enjoyed it, but it didn't last very long on Fox. He maybe did something in between, but I don't know what it is.
I know what you're talking about, though, but it's just funny. We were talking about Justified, and then somehow we got the Michael Rappaport.
He won't be on this season for sure.
How awful was it when he died on Justified? Well, spoiler alert, in case anyone hasn't seen last season.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him keep going. He was gripping, dude. He was in Raising Hope. Was that it? It was a show called Raising Hope.
Oh, that might have been it.
He was on The Mob Doctor.
Oh, dear Lord, that was terrible. It had the most unlikable main character in the history of ever. It was like, you know, it was just like, what the hell are you thinking? You know, she was just kind of a narcissist and creating her own problems all the time. It's just like, no, fuck you. Good. You're in a bad spot. I haven't felt that strongly about a main character in a while. I was really glad when that one got canceled. Most of the time, I could care less if something gets canceled. It's just like, who wrote this thing? Like, why did this get approved?
I don't think that was Raising Hope then.
I'm not looking at. I should have gone to IMDb myself just to.
There's a show. Yeah, he's on Prison Break. The only other one I see is The Mob Doctor.
Maybe it was beforehand. Maybe I'm remembering an older TV show than.
My name is Earl. The War at Home.
War at Home, I think.
Yeah, that's gotta be it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, I do kind of remember this. Boy, the commercials look bad. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I finally got to IMDb. Thanks for the link.
Oh, okay.
It took me long enough to play catch up.
No, it's but yeah, but on Justified, his, was it Daryl Crow Jr., right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the, that show somehow gets the absolute best out of every actor that appears on there.
Yeah, and it's one of those shows, too, that to me, it does kill me. I only saw an article or two last year. It's just like people have not really mentioned the brilliance of Justified, and it's still kind of that way, actually. Like, I think I saw that one article, and it still doesn't really catch on. I don't know if it's had even a shot at any Emmys. Which is mystifying to me. But yeah, he was awesome on there.
Yeah. Well, even the guy that played Bubba Gump.
Oh. Was that Michael T. Williams? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's Michael T. Williams. Because he's been on for a couple of different seasons.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, Elston Limehouse.
Yep.
Yeah. But, alright, so anyways, I don't know how I'm going to justify it, sorry. WWE, just as a whole, as a creative entity right now, doesn't make any sense. I don't mind the John Cena story as long as it doesn't mean he wins Sunday.
I would hope so.
I know they've signed Brock to somewhat of a new contract.
Okay.
But I would only want it, if I was Brock signing that, I'd want it out immediately. Like if I'm not carrying the title into WrestleMania as a monster, then I'm not doing this because that's ridiculous.
I that should be the mission. No matter who ends up being the person to take him on, it seems crazy to not have him be in the main event come WrestleMania time with that title victory.
Yeah. I'll just say this. What are your expectations to try and just, you know, get a single path again for the show? what is your expectation for Night of Champions?
I am looking forward to the tag team match, which I think will be a quality match. They have really underserved both of those teams in my humble estimation, even though they've given the Dust Brothers some mic time. They still haven't completely explained their change of path. And I think the Usos got an inset promo, but get the hell out. You know, give them at least a little bit more than that. Their biggest story really has been, and this is just another one. It's just killing me. They have, and it doesn't really help me remember either, is that they have just given up on which Uso is which Uso. Like, they don't even try to mention the differences anymore. Because I know that the tattoos are different on the right arm, but I keep on forgetting which one is which still. And half the time that they're calling it, they don't mention them by name. It's just like, Uso hit something.
They did that last night, didn't they?
Until...
Like they said Uso's gonna fly or something.
Until pretty late. When they mentioned Jimmy's name, and I was like, "Oh, now I had to like go back and change everyone's name, flip their names," which was kind of funny. I just couldn't wait for any other writer on the internet would have just not given a shit and just left it the way it was, all fucked up.
Yeah. We could have just put a line, well, WWE changed their mind, so reverse the names on your own. I can point out the Shahid. They both wrestle in t-shirts now.
Which doesn't help either.
No. I was solidifying your point. They both paint their faces. They both wear t-shirts. They wear the same shorts.
Yeah, they paint.
The announcers don't bother pointing it out.
They paint the right. The one paints the right half, and the other paints the left half. And even just mentioning that all the time would really help. Or if they're keeping the face paint side the same all the time, it would really help out a lot.
But it would also be nice if the announcers would call the action instead of bickering between each other. Talking about how weird something is, plugging the network. I know it's not going to happen. You know, and I think that's something that going forward, like, and when I mentioned to you, like how Vince McMahon needs to pick what he wants to do, creative or run the business.
Right.
prefaced with, it's never going to happen. You know, it just, the Usos thing especially, just last night, especially when he said something about the Uso gonna fly or something, I was like, oh my god, really? But going to that, like, nobody gets talking time anymore. You get your inset promo, okay, but the show's taken up with, what, two giant John Cena segments? Seth Rollins acting like a gorilla? That doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to figure out, who else got to talk? I didn't see the Rusev Mark Henry. I have no idea what happened with that. I passed out. I was like, I don't feel like staying awake for this.
Oh, well, I don't blame you for passing out during that thing, because that was just silly. The fact that it was a main event is mind-boggling.
I read something today. They're prepping Rusev for Cena, though. So they're putting him in the main event to get him noticed, I guess.
I did not bring a beer to this show. So, thanks for giving me a reason to drink.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Rusev's ready for that responsibility. But I don't hate on him like everybody else does. So,
It's not that. If they just let him wrestle, it would probably be fine. It's another thing that, to me, goes to the writing. It stinks. Like, there's no reason. And I think I've mentioned this to you before. It's not, as much as whatever Vladimir Putin may or may not be doing to the Ukraine, no one here gives a shit, for the most part. Unless you're paid to give a shit about it. So, it just, this big bad Russian thing isn't working. Because, you know, there's nothing to hate there. And they keep on going back to the same well, and it's not, the response isn't getting any more negative. Like, if they just let him wrestle, because he seems like a pretty capable wrestler, but he's got to crush everyone, and that leads to him not having good matches at all.
I enjoyed those couple he had with Big E. I thought, I mean, just two brutes beating on each other. That was fun.
Oh.
Like, Big E making those big jumps through the ropes and all that stuff. God, that was some good stuff. And then they killed that.
Well, and Big E's another guy that is just out in La La Land. Well, I think
it is, where do you find it? Because if that's where Big E is, he's in big trouble. Him, Kofi, Xavier Woods.
Oh. Well, they might have sold them to somebody else. That they might have put them on loan to a smaller organization.
Yeah, you gotta watch the whole they sold them stuff.
Well, that's why I was trying to make it like in soccer, where they loan them to someone else.
Oh, okay.
That's
kind of messed up. They do say they sold them,
right? Right.
Rights or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a term I'm like, oh, that's not going to sound good. Maybe I should revise what I'm saying here. Yeah. The 30 people,
you know,
listening,
it's
aren't going to care.
Yourself, but
Yeah, they just stopped any sort of investment in them.
Period.
Right, which, yeah. it doesn't do anything for anyone in that situation. You know, it's just more dead space on your roster instead of at least having someone who's can be put on TV as I do love this too, with all the main eventers running their own podcasts, the enhancement talent.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at the main event results, and Dolph Ziggler wrestled on main event. He was just on Raw. Why not give that spot to somebody else? You know, I mean, I know it was in a tag match, but let's see. Yeah, as we say this, Seth Rollins versus Big E. Seth Rollins beat Big E in 13 minutes. Okay, but it's like, but Brie Bella and Cameron, they both went on Raw.
They were in opposite matches, though. They were in different matches, though.
But you're just saying use more talent.
Have Rosa Mendez wrestle then?
No, what about Slater Gator?
Oh.
I mean, you know, use that as something else. Use that as a selling point. Like, I'm not begging for Zack Ryder. I'm not asking for, like, start pushing new people. Just start using the people you've got. You know?
Yeah, well, I think that's what this whole discussion has been about, honestly. Like, I don't think we're saying that these guys should be in the main event or anything. It's just have some fresh people on TV so that instead of going, oh, they're still around, like, because I think was it last week that Kofi showed back up? And even R-Truth was another one. It's just like, oh my lord, when was the last time I saw him? You know, it's just a lot of, you know, if they're worried about a budget and they're not going to use these people, then get rid of them.
I'm about to eat my words here, actually. I'm looking at the roster on WWE.com right now.
Uh-huh.
I've got to miss somebody. They used almost everybody on the roster on Monday. In some sort of capacity, almost everybody was on there. That's frightening. All right. I'll go over who wasn't on. Zack Ryder, Xavier Woods, Tyson Kidd. He doesn't really count. I consider him NXT right now.
Right.
Titus O'Neil wasn't on. Sin Cara. Oh, I forgot the women. I'm not going to use the women because we already know they only care about 2 to 4 per time.
Yeah.
Sheamus was on. Ryback's hurt. They still have Rob Van Dam and Rey Mysterio on here. That's kind of funny. Randy Orton, he was on.
Yep.
Miz. Were Harper and Rowan on?
Yeah, they were on. Yeah. Because they interfered. Well, Harper interfered, and then Rowan jumped in.
Yeah. Kofi Kingston and Justin Gabriel, they weren't there. That's 4.
No, didn't. Where did Gabriel have a match recently? Oh, it was SmackDown that he had a match.
He's Slater. Well, Hunico, but he's in NXT.
Oh. All
right, so Fernando and Diego. El Torito, he doesn't count. Darren Young's hurt. Dean Ambrose, film. David Otunga, he's still on the roster, by the way.
I never got around to talking about him. The lady watches the soap opera that she was on, or that Otunga was on. I was in tears just watching this segment. Because it was this old woman who was in her deathbed, and she evidently was one of the first famous female wrestlers. Like, she's kind of a Moolah Mae Young type of character, at least on the show. And David Otunga was her favorite wrestler, and he came to see her in the hospital. Oh, and she was so excited that he'd come to visit, and she asked what influences she had on his career, some crazy shit like that.
Wow.
Oh man. I wish I could have had a little more fun with that. I just didn't get around to it because it was quite a train wreck of epic proportions when that occurred.
Forcing people into awkward situations.
Yeah.
They didn't use six people, but they could still use those six people on main event or something, you know?
Oh.
And including the women, they could have used them. I didn't list the women. Like Big E, okay, he was on, so five.
Well, yeah, and who did you just list that's on main event, so?
Just Big E.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. The people who were on, Seth Rollins versus Big E. Well, Seth Rollins just wrestled the semi-main on Raw. That's dumb. He shouldn't be on main event. Brie Bella and Cameron. No one should be in the ring with Cameron.
Oh.
I think that was on purpose yesterday. Her trying to pin Naomi with her chest on the ground. I saw that as a goof.
Oh.
Everyone's like ragging on her, saying that she messed up. I don't think that was intentional. I'm sorry. I think that was intentional. I think that was just her trying to be bitchy about everything. But
oh, okay.
But yeah. But then Miz and Sandow, Ziggler, and R-Truth.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. R-Ziggler. It's like we just had that. Why do we need it again?
We can't get enough of it. We just have TV time to fill. Actually, I can't believe that. Now that you say that, they have too light of a roster now. Or they legitimately do need to call up some of the people from NXT and replace them on NXT to help out if it's that much of a repetition of the same people, because that is a little bit of burnout. Like I still do view main event is something that I don't need to watch because it's the lower tier people, but evidently the lower tier people aren't, well, they are lower tier people. It's not like, well, Rollins is kind of main eventy.
That's absolutely fair. Yeah.
So,
but it's like I don't know where the line gets drawn between overexposure and trying to utilize people. And I don't know if you want to call up any NXT guys because they're not going to be a focus of anything. They're going to be like Adam Rose or Fandango. You know.
Yeah, you didn't have Fandango on your list there. Yeah. It's a mess. And oh wow, I think this all started with what we were looking forward to at Night of Champions, too, which was a question because I mentioned the tag match and things just kind of went from there. So,
And that's kind of what I'm getting at with Night of Champions. And what I meant is the main event, or the end. Are we going to get a John Cena Brock Lesnar match? Are we going to get another Lesnar beatdown on Cena? Or are we going to get what I think everybody doesn't want, is a Cena beatdown on Lesnar to prove that he's still got it?
I think that there is a way to have Cena lose but still regain some of his credibility. You know, I think if they just have a more competitive match that Lesnar just pulls out, or, you know, just beats Cena, maybe not pulls out, that they could do that. You know, I don't think that there's a problem with going that route, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And if they go, one of the two routes that you go, I don't know. A beatdown to me by Lesnar again, I don't know how you take the Cena character seriously. And then Cena just beating the tar out of him, just I don't quite understand why you even gave the title to Brock Lesnar in the first place if Cena's just going to take it right back.
That's okay, and that's the logical answer to that. It doesn't make any sense, which worries me that that's what's going to happen. That this is just a ploy to make Cena look stronger. And I think it's a giant mistake. I cringe thinking that that's what's going to happen. I really do.
Gotcha.
This is WWE's way of just getting, you know, Cena back on top, whatever you want to talk about or what you want to call it. I'm thoroughly kind of nervous about it. It's not fun at all.
Yeah, you actually look agitated at the current moment, just thinking about the whole situation, which is killing me.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't want this to turn into like a bitch about John Cena, but what if Cena does win? Raw has been piss poor for, what, 3 weeks now? At least
between these pay-per-views, it's been pretty bad with some moderate highlights here and there.
So how do you honestly justify keeping watching? Like, for me, Lesnar keeps me watching, and vis-a-vis Paul Heyman. I'm trying to think who else keeps me watching, and right now there really isn't. There's no one other person that goes, I gotta see him on this show right now.
I'm not sure I have to see him, but I am really enjoying the work of Paige and AJ at the current moment. I like I said, I don't know if it would go. I'd go, oh, I need to tune into this. But,
See, that's part of my problem, though, is
I'm enjoying it.
Women's wrestling, but, and this isn't a critique of their skills, but women's wrestling, you know, is not a priority whatsoever. So it's very difficult to get behind any WWE women's talent.
Yeah, that might be part of my apprehension of not being all in on it too. Because you can say at this point that the tag team division has been back long enough that at least it seems like they're going to keep it around for a while in some form or another, because they keep on coming up with different teams. So, but the women's wrestling hasn't gone through that transformation. Paige and AJ might be able to pull that division out of the dregs, but I doubt it. I mean, we talked about already, if that Cameron and Naomi match is any indication, you know, they don't have a whole lot to work with except for themselves.
I know we got to wrap up here, so maybe I should say it. But whenever I hear someone say, like, this person should be called up from NXT, this woman, this team, this person, why? Like, right now, there's no reason to call anybody up.
Oh.
And, you know, and my example is Charlotte. I keep reading things about Charlotte's going to be the next one to get the call up. Well, who cares? At this point in time, who cares? Because the focus is on the Bellas fighting each other. Two girls with minimal skills. I mean, no disrespect, but come on, we've seen it. Paige and AJ Lee get 5 minutes, And I'm not expecting 30 minutes, but at least let him go as long as an NXT match, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, let him do 7,
yeah.
8.
Jesus. I was going to say 10, but...
Sorry.
That just speaks to the greater problem of WWE, which we just don't have a problem. We don't have time to get into.
Well, we've gotten into a lot of problems today, so...
Yeah, and didn't solve one of them. So, we just mentioned them. So.
Yep.
But yeah, but let's wrap this bad boy up. We've been going for a while. All right. So,
yep.
You can follow us on all social media. Stunk Granny, iTunes, whatever podcast you can find. Just look for Stunk Granny, and everything loads up under Stunk Granny. It's pretty cool how we do it. I don't know. Email us, stuntgranny@gmail.com.
Yeah.
That's all for me. Yeah, so I'll let you take us out.
And, it's at Granny Maze at DeFrango11 on the Twitter for the 2-year host. And, it's time to finish off that growler of Stone Enjoy Buy, and hopefully soon we will have a $60 million facility of Stone Brewing in the fine city of Columbus, Ohio. So, grandkids, have a good night.